Father, we ask, O Lord, that you use this message this morning to open the ears of our hearts, that we may hear your clarion call. We ask, O Lord, that you will pass through the sermon to give us the understanding we need, so that we may respond to this call and find in you our resting place. So have your way as we humble ourselves under the move of your Spirit, that you may speak to us today in the mighty name of Jesus. And let the church say amen. This morning, if you care for a title, I will be speaking on the title, Jesus Will Give You Rest. Jesus will give you rest. Now, as Christians, we do believe that Jesus Christ is our ever present help in time of trouble. When we are faced with the challenges of life, when we deal with situations in life, we can always be rest assured that when we go to Jesus, He will help us. As Christians, we bank our hope in Christ when we are faced with terrorizing circumstances in our lives. And while some of those things may afford some false sense of relief to those who so ignorantly consume them, we believe as Christians that when we are dealing with trouble and the unpalatable situations in life, the peace that we need and the rest that we need cannot be found in a bottle of alcohol. We believe that the hope and the rest we need is not found in a wrap of crack or in a stick of cigarette or in opioids overdose. We believe unflinchingly that our hope is found only in Jesus Christ. And so, for any serious Christian, the issue is not that we don't trust God or we don't trust in Christ as our hope when we are in crisis. The issue, however, is that sometimes, even though we trust in Christ, we really don't understand why. We go to Jesus, but we don't understand why we should go only to Jesus and not to any other person, not to Muhammad or to Buddha or any other individual that has been exalted by other religions. We also do not understand exactly what to expect from Jesus based on his promises. And so, because of our lack of understanding of who Jesus is and what he promises to do for us when we come to him, we often go to Jesus for the wrong reasons. And we often expect him to fulfill a promise he never made. And so I'm going to premise this morning on the fact that we know for fact, as a fact, that Jesus is our go-to person when we are in crisis. And based on this foundation, I'm going to address two things this morning. Number one, I'm going to respond to the question, what is actually the theological rationale that justifies Christ as the only person we as Christians should go to when we are in crisis. In other words, why should we bank our hope in Christ and in Him alone when we are faced with trouble and crisis in life? And number two, how does the Bible say that Jesus is going to help us when we go to Him? Two things we need to understand. Why we must go to Jesus, and how will He help us when we go to Him? And what I'm hoping to do this morning is that I'm going to engage in a biblical and theological exposition of Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. I will help you understand the meaning of the text in its context, and I will also help you to understand the relationship between verse 27 and verse 28, verse 29 and verse 30, so that we can get the meaning from the text that will be applicable for us this morning. So let's begin by looking at the context of Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. If you look at verse 1 of Matthew 11, you will see that Jesus taught His disciples, and after He had instructed His disciples, verse 1 of Matthew 11 tells us that Jesus went and began teaching and preaching in their cities. And while He was teaching and preaching, we gather from the next couple of verses that what He was teaching in these cities were mysteries. And in verse 25 of Matthew 11, we are told that these mysteries were hidden from the wise and the understanding of this age, but was made known to little children or to babes. And verse 26 tells us that it was God's will, it is God's will, that certain mysteries that Jesus was teaching in these cities be hidden from those who claim to be wise and understanding, and be revealed to little children. And in verse 27, Jesus continues to talk more about these mysteries, which are hidden from those who claim to be wise and understanding, but have been revealed to little children. Little children in context here simply refer to those who are open to the ministry of Christ, who see Jesus as the author and the finisher of their faith, who recognize Jesus as the Son of the living God. So these mysteries have been revealed to them. He goes on in this next couple of verses to talk more about these mysteries. And so what I'm going to do is, to help you understand what He says in this text, I'm going to divide this text into three parts. Part 1 will be verse 28. Part 2 will be verse 27. And part 3 will be verse 29 to 30. The reason why verse 28 is part 1 is because verse 28 plays a central role in the text. It describes what Jesus promises to do to those who come to Him. Verse 27 explains why those who come to Him should come to Him. And verse 30 explains how Jesus promises to do, or how Jesus promises to fulfill what He plans to do to those who come to Him. And so what we're going to do is, we're going to zoom in and look at these three parts very closely and see what Jesus is saying here, beginning with verse 28. So in verse 28, the Bible says, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So from the text, who is He speaking to? He is speaking to all who are weak and are heavy laden. And in context, this referred to the Jews who were burdened by the legalistic demands of the law. So He is speaking to all who are weak and are heavy laden. What are they supposed to do according to verse 21? Come unto Me. What will happen when they come to Him? I will give you rest. So to those who are burdened by the legalistic demands of the law, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. For us today, we may not be burdened by the legalistic demands of the law because we now live in the dispensation of grace. However, we may be burdened by other things. We might be burdened by family challenges. We might be burdened by financial challenges. We might be burdened by health challenges. We might be burdened by a situation at work. Whatever be the reason why you may be burdened this morning, the same call applies to you. Jesus is saying, come unto me and I will give you rest. But then the point is, Jesus does not just give this clarion call. He gives a clear theological justification for why they must come to him and him alone. And not consider other methods for finding rest, which is what we do today. In America today, we look for peace and rest in the wrong places. Some engage in opioids overdose, and which is becoming a serious issue now in the community, in search of this peace. Some, you know, drink and get drunk and get messed up, yet still do not find this peace. Some will smoke all kinds of crack and all kinds of things in an effort to find this peace because we are dealing with so much. But Jesus here gives clear justification as to why you should not look to man-made methodologies or man-made ways of escape, but look only to him as the only one that can give you this peace and this rest that you really desire. And so he says here in verse 27, he says, come to me, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. And so from this text, we see a couple of things. Number one, we see that Jesus gives three reasons why they should come to him only and not to anyone else. Number one, come to me because all things have been handed over to me by my Father. I have authority over all things, so come to me. If you are dealing with a financial situation, come to me. If you're dealing with a health challenge, come to me. If you're dealing with a marital problem, come to me. Whatever be the case, I have authority over all things, so come to me. Paul speaks more of this authority in Philippians chapter 2 when he says, for this reason, God lifted him up by giving him a name that is above every other name, that by the mentioning of that name, Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So Jesus has authority over your situation, and so you can come to him. The second reason from verse 27 is, I am the only one who knows the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And so Jesus is saying, because I am the only one who knows the Father, if you come to me with your trouble, with your problems, I will take you to the Father. Remember, even though Jesus is God, he did not consider equality with God, which is why God exalted him. He came and humbled himself. He didn't present himself as an end, even though he is God. He rather uplifted the Father and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And so he's saying that when you come to me, I will take you to the Father. Why so? Because in the presence of the Father, there is fullness of joy, which is what David testified. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, for in his presence there is fullness of joy, and in his right hand there is a never-ending pleasure. So he's saying, when you come to me with your weary and heavy-laden state, I will receive you as my own, and I will take you to the Father, because no one knows the Father but me. So come to me. And the third reason he advances here as to why we should come to him, he says, I can choose anyone to reveal to the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal to the Father. Only Jesus is able to choose us. And the Bible tells us God has mercy on whomever He wants to have mercy, and He has compassion on whoever He wants to have compassion. Jesus is saying, I have the ability and the power to show you mercy and compassion. So if you come to me, I will take you to the Father. I will connect you to the Father because I have authority to do so, and I can do all things. Now, moving on to verse 29 and 30. So he has made this clarion call. In verse 28, he has justified why they should come to him. Now he's going to talk about how he is going to give them this rest that they need. Verse 29 and 30 says, he says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are two verbs here that point to those who are weak and are heavy laden, which function in the second person plural, which I want you to take note of. The first here is the verb to take, which in Greek is arate, and it functions in the aorist active indicative mood. Now, take note of that. The second verb that points to those who are weak and are heavy laden is the verb to learn, which in the Greek is mathate, and it also functions in the aorist active indicative mood. So what he's saying is, these people who come to me, those who are weak and are heavy laden, I need you to do two things. Number one, take my yoke. Number two, learn from me. And so the verse goes on, the text goes on to give us three reasons why if they take his yoke and if they learn from him, then they will get what they're looking for. So he says, when you take my yoke and learn from me, what will happen? You will find rest for your souls. So that's why I want you to take my yoke. Second, don't worry about taking this yoke. I am gentle and lowly in heart. I can teach you so many things if you come to me. Don't worry about it. Just take this burden. Come and learn from me. Don't worry about it because I will teach you. I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. I will teach you what you need to know. So take my yoke and learn from me. And number three, don't worry about this yoke that I'm about to give you. It's not like the kind of yoke that you have that makes you weary and heavy laden. My own yoke, my own burden is easy and it's light. The kind of burden I'm going to give you is not the kind of burden that you come with. So, but I need you to take my yoke. I need you to learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. The question then is, what is it that they had to take from? What is this yoke that they had to take from Jesus? And what is it that they needed to learn from him in order to find the rest that they need from all their troubles? What is this yoke? What is this lesson that they have to learn? Because this is that is the key that he's providing here in this text. When you take my yoke, when you learn from me, then you will find rest for your souls. Well, if you look at the context, you see the answer is right here in verse 27. In verse 27, he says, no one knows the Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal to him. There is a verb here that is directly connected to the Son, and that is the verb to know. The verb to know, which in the Greek is epiginoske. Now, according to the Greek, epiginoske means becoming fully acquainted with. Becoming fully acquainted with. which we look at the passing of this word, it functions in the present active indicative mood, which means it's something that Christ is doing. So when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, what he's saying is, you will learn from me based on what I am doing in context. What is it that I'm doing in context? Epigenoske, I am knowing the Father. I am gaining acquaintance with the Father. I am being in fellowship with the Father. So when you come to me with your burden, your financial burden, when you come to me with that sickness, with that cancer, with that heart disease, or whatever it is that makes you weary and heavy laden, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to give you an opportunity to learn from me how to be in fellowship with the Father. And that was Jesus' burden, because that's what he wanted to do, to advance the kingdom of God. So when Jesus came on earth, his desire was to do the will of God. He did not entrust himself to any man because he knew what was in man, but he entrusted himself to God. Jesus' burden was to advance the kingdom of God against all odds. And so he's saying here that when you come to him, he will teach you how to be connected to the Father and be about the Father's business, which is to advance his kingdom. And when you do that, you will find rest for your souls. When you come weary with all those problems, Jesus is not going to just perform a miracle and all of those things disappear. He will introduce to you something else you need to be concerned about. Be more concerned about knowing God and being with God and be driven by the things that drives God, his mission. That should become your new burden. But this burden is not like the one you have. It's easy and it's light because it's something that you want to do anyway. It's a joyous burden. So when you wake up in the morning, because you've come to Christ and Christ has taught you how to be in fellowship with the Father, and you are so consumed by that fellowship with the Father, your burden then becomes, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. When you are consumed by this lesson that Jesus teaches you and you are burdened by the things that Jesus is burdened about, you will not be concerned about your health as you are concerned about the mission of God. You will not be as concerned about your financial situation as you are concerned about the mission of God. The mission of God, the purpose of God, the mind of God will take precedence over all things, and that will become your new vision. You will sing like the songwriter. He says, oh Lord, I hunger for more of you. Rise now within me. Let me know your peace. When you wake up in the morning, it's not what am I going to eat today or what am I going to do today? Oh Lord, how may I serve you today? How may I be useful for the kingdom today? Lord, I live for you. The life I now live is a life in Christ. Though I live, yet not I, but Christ live in me. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But I live for Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about. I want to give you a new burden. I want to teach you how to do what I am doing, knowing the Father, being in fellowship with the Father, and that will transform your life. And so for someone who has truly gone to Jesus and has received what Jesus offers, will be willing to serve God despite the situation. This makes us very different from prosperity gospel teachers. According to prosperity gospel teachers, yes, it is true that Jesus will help you when you go to him. But here is what prosperity gospel will teach you. When you come to Jesus with your cancer, with your marital problem, with your situation at work, you will find rest when that cancer is gone. You will find rest when that marital problem is resolved. In order for you to find a rest, there are things you need to do. Number one, give all your money to the church. Number two, uplift the pastor and honor him, and then he has the power to pray for you, and then that sickness will be gone. And then that marital problem will be solved. Then you will find rest for your souls. And so people have been brainwashed by this because they so badly need to be healed. They so badly need to have a better life. They go to these preachers. They give all their monies. They look up to them as God, and they keep hoping that they will pray for them, that they may be healed, that they may be restored, because they really need this rest that we all need. But what we preach from this text is this. When you come to Jesus with that cancer, when you come to Him with that financial trouble, when you come to Him with that failing marriage, what He promises, now it's going to be great if Jesus just by His mercy just heals you and it's going to be good. But what He promises in this text is not that He's going to take away that cancer. What He promises in this text is not that He's going to take away trouble from your life such that you will have no more troubles in this life. What He promises is this. When you come with that cancer, with that problem, He will change your perspective. He will change your mindset. He will give you a new perspective. You will say, just hang on with that trouble for now. Let me teach you something. I'm going to teach you how to be in fellowship with the Father. Let me give you something to live for. I want you to live for the kingdom of God, and let that become your passion. And so it is no longer about the cancer, even though it's still there. It's no longer about the financial trouble, even though it's still there. It's now about what God wants and what He wants me to do. Whether I'm strong or I'm weak, I'll still serve God. Whether I'm working or I'm not working, I will still serve God. Then that becomes your burden. So you take your satisfaction then becomes doing the will of God. And when you are consumed by that, He says, you will find rest for your soul when you are consumed by doing what God wants you to do. And when you start doing that, what you will be doing then is you will be seeking first the kingdom of God. And what does the Bible say to those who seek first the kingdom of God? It said, every other thing shall be added unto you. When you come to Jesus, He will teach you how to seek first the kingdom of God, so that every other thing may be added unto you. When you seek first the kingdom of God, healing will be added unto you. When you seek first the kingdom of God, joy in your marriage will be added unto you. When you seek first the kingdom of God, financial prosperity will be added unto you if it is in God's will. But that is not what you get directly when you go to Christ. What you get is the opportunity to grow in your relationship with God. And that changes everything. And such that when that becomes the case, whether you are healed or you are not healed, you still rejoice in the Lord because you are overwhelmed by what you've learned from Jesus Christ. Paul was a living example of this. He said, oh, I may be persecuted, but I am not abandoned. I may be struck down, but I am not destroyed. I may be down, but I'm not out. What can separate me from the love of Christ? Shall persecution or distress or nakedness or the sword? He said, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other thing in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of Christ. This was someone who was overwhelmed by what Christ taught him to be, epigenoske, knowing the Father, and be consumed by that and do the Father's will above his own will. You want peace in your marriage? You want rest in your life? Let Jesus teach you how to be in fellowship with the Father. And let your mission be to do the will of God and not your own will. Then you will find rest for your soul. So for Reform teachers like us, we teach that peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God when there is trouble. Rest is not the absence of cancer or heart disease or whatever disease you may have. It is the presence of God even when you deal with those health challenges. Because somehow He keeps you going. Even when the doctors may have written you up and have given you a very negative report, somehow Jesus still gives you the grace to keep on moving on. That is rest, because it is found only in Jesus Christ. And whether it is in God's will that you be healed or not, one thing is sure: you live for Christ, you die for Christ. Whether it is in God's will that your situation gets improved at your place for work, that doesn't really matter to you. What matters to you is that you live for Christ and you die for Christ, and let Him be glorified with whatever happens to your life. Oh, we are in an age where we need men and women whose Christianity is not driven by the prosperity gospel theory that says you can be a Christian and you have no sickness and no trouble. That's what rest is. We are in need, the church is in need of men and women who understand that even in sickness and in challenging circumstances, we can still advance the kingdom of God and enjoy His rest, even in the midst of chaos. We need men and women who understand that when they go through the fire will not consume them, because God is with them. We need men who will understand that when they pass through trying times, that God will keep them safe and He will still sustain them, even though they deal with these challenges in life. And so this morning, I didn't come here to promise you healing. I didn't come here to promise you that life is going to be easy for you, and that your marriage and your families and your job situation will be perfect. But I came to say, even in that situation, even in that sickness, even in those trying moments, you can still enjoy the peace of God. Because the peace of God is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of God in the face of those troubles. If you are here this morning and you came to church today with a heavy heart, and you're going through something in your home and it's just weighing down on your heart, I'd like to conclude by asking you to just open up, because Jesus is calling on you today. And He's saying, come, and I will give you rest if you're willing to take and learn, because that's what you need to do in order to find rest. In the 19th century, there was this Scottish hymn writer in the person of Horatius Bonar, who was known as the Scottish Prince of Hymn Writers. And he wrote a hymn entitled, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. This morning, I want you to take a moment and just hear the voice of Jesus calling you as you go through what you're going through. Some of you here, you are really hurting. Maybe you've been hurt by your spouse. You've been hurt by an employee or by your employer or by your colleague. You've been hurt because of the news you got from the doctors concerning your health. But in the midst of these trying times, my prayer is that your ears will open and you will hear the Lord Jesus calling on you. And in this hymn writer says this. He said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in Him a resting place, and He has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and leave. I came to Jesus and I drank from that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your days be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star and my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.